Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:24 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is October 27th. Well, today has been a relatively mixed day in the latter half. In Asia this morning, we saw that the majority of markets followed through on Wall Street's weak close on Friday, with the Nikkei down just under 1.5%, the Hang Seng was down just over 1.8%, and the ASX was down about 1.5% as well. In China, we saw the A-share market encountering a little bit of resistance in the area of the upper side of the 2-month range, and it was down a bit more than 2%, if my memory serves me correctly. In Europe, the outlook was a bit mixed, with the FTSE a shade into positive territory. The CAC and DAX were down only very slightly. The better performing markets were in Sweden and Switzerland, both up over 1%. And as we approach the close in Wall Street, the Dow Jones is in slightly positive territory, but it continues to have posted that small key reversal last week or late the week before, and it is in the region of this 10,000 area, which is a natural area for reassessment. And by reassessment, if an increasing number of people ask the question, then reassessment can equal reversal. And by and large, in the equity markets, we see that the majority of indices have now moved into a more reactionary type environment. However, the progressions of higher reaction lows remain in place, which means that the medium-term uptrend, which has been in place for the majority of markets since last March, remains intact. And provided those progressions of higher reaction lows remain intact, we can continue to give the upside the benefit of the doubt. However, with that said, we also know that the risk assets, by that I mean stock markets, commodity markets, and corporate and emerging market bonds, have been rallying for the better part of 6 months. And this has been both in terms of the size of the moves that have taken place and the length of time that we've gone without having any type of larger reaction is very impressive. But it also indicates that this probably isn't the time to be getting increasingly bullish. Rather, it's more a time to be thinking about the next better buying opportunity, which is likely to occur when we do move into a bigger reactionary type environment, when those progressions of higher reaction lows are taken out. And although I feel I've been saying it for over a month, we are closer to the next larger type corrective phase than we are to the next really big move to the upside. And the catalysts for such a move could easily be simply profit taking, but it could also be the pressuring of dollar short positions through carry trades. And the dollar has been a bit firmer in here. Just to finish that recap of what's been happening in markets, the dollar was a little bit stronger in here today, particularly against the euro. But in the commodity markets, we've experienced a little bit of weakness. Copper is finishing out the day in the region of $3, but it was as low as 2.94 earlier on today, but made up that loss intraday. Gold was as low as 1,032, but finished around 1,038. Silver was down to 1,650 at one point and finished down on the day 42 cents. So we do remain in this corrective type phase, and the industrial metals have been stronger than the precious metals over the last week. On Friday, we also saw large downward dynamics for some of the grains, particularly corn, and they were a little bit weaker in here today. The oil market was as low as $77, but finished in the region of $79. So we're seeing that the industrial metals and oil remain less volatile than the precious metals and the grains, and I suppose the precious metals have been moving in line with the stock markets over the last few months, and they haven't been able to break that correlation in their recent strength. And Gold really does need to be able to break away from this correlation with stock markets if it is going to fulfill the potential that many of us think that it has. And with this little bit of dollar strength, we also see that the government bond markets were a bit stronger in here today. The US Treasury was firmer by over a full tick, or a full point, sorry. And gilts and bunds both rallying in here today up over 0.75 point. Gilts are particularly interesting because they had come right down within their 5-month range and tested the progression of incrementally higher reaction lows and are rallying from that area around 117. And they look like a good candidate to go back up and test the upper side of their range over the coming weeks or possibly months. Strength in the government bond markets, relative strength in the currency markets for the dollar, would indicate that the anxiety that is being manifested in stock markets and other risk assets may be finding a home in some of these presumed safe haven type investments. We know that the dollar has been the funding currency of choice for carry trades, and if we do start to see that the dollar is firming up not only against comparatively weak currencies such as the euro or the Japanese yen, but if it starts to firm against strong currencies such as the Australian dollar or the New Zealand dollar, then that could begin to put pressure on some of these carry trades and the leverage that has been put on over the last 6 months, and we could move into a deeper type reaction for some of those risk assets, or corrective phase in our terminology. Our terminology would say that a reaction is a relatively short-term event and a correction is more medium-term. And the reality is that we're probably overdue for a larger type corrective phase, which would take the shape of a reversion towards the rising 200-day moving average, and for those better performing markets which have improving governance, sound fundamentals, and the secular bull story, it's likely to provide a good buying opportunity for the medium term. For some of those lagging markets, we could see them moving into a lengthy first step above the base, and the chances are that we're going to continue to see that the better performing markets over the last year will remain among the better performers for the majority of the duration of this bull market, because regardless of the fact that we are relatively close to the next larger type reaction, the action that we've seen over the last 6 months has been, and indeed over the last year for better performing markets, has been nothing but supportive of the new bull market type hypothesis. And that being the case, the early leaders are likely to be the leaders for the majority of the advance. They will be worth watching both now when they were likely to be the ones that roll over first, they're likely to be the ones that find support first, they're likely to be the better performers throughout, and when they eventually, probably a couple of years from now, or a few years from now, begin to lose their upward consistency, that will also be an indication that we will be in the latter stages of what has all the characteristics of a new bull market. And the conditions that we have out there today are relatively similar to what existed back in 2003, when the supply inelasticity meets rising demand theme was getting underway, where demand from a synchronized global economic expansion was getting underway and supply was being challenged to keep pace with that demand. And the reasons behind those dynamics were slightly different in 2003 than they are today. Today we have the situation that miners and energy companies are having difficulty getting the type of funding they need to bring new supply on track, and the global economy is returning to growth, and we're likely to move back into a period of economic expansion in the global economy which is likely to pick up pace next year and the year after. And we are back into a potential situation where the supply of some of the key commodities will be under pressure, and that could put upward pressure on the prices for those markets, which would help to explain why they are relatively less volatile at the current time than we see some in some of the other commodities. With government bonds being a little bit firmer, that will put downward pressure on government bond yields. But when we look at those government bond yield charts, the strong likelihood is that that low down there at 2% on the 10-year was the low for the entire bull market in government bonds, and significant rallies in government bond prices are likely to be shorting opportunities for the foreseeable future. We know for a fact that government bond supply isn't going to be a problem in, well, in the near future or indeed over the medium term. And with that supply, we really do need to ask the question, if they need to borrow our money so badly, are we willing to give it away at such paltry yields? And the yield on, for example, the UK government has issued a bond maturing in 2060 with a 4% yield. And while 4% may be potentially appetizing at in the current environment, that type of investment, getting a 4% yield on a 50-year investment, is really rather risible. So obviously governments, it's in their best interest to issue as much of this long-dated debt at such remarkably low yields as they can, and more power to them. But that doesn't mean as investors we need to be rushing out to buy these types of investments. There are plenty of potentially better performing asset classes, and that isn't just over the short term, but over the medium and long term. And these are likely to predominantly be in countries with improving governance in Latin America and Asia, which have demonstrated relative performance over the last year. And when we do see a larger type reaction towards the moving average, they're likely to provide us with excellent buying opportunities. And with that, I think I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.